For commercial reasons, an employer may want to reduce employees' pay on a temporary or permanent basis as an alternative or in addition to making redundancies. Sometimes, however, it may be necessary to dismiss an employee who refuses to accept a pay cut when everyone else has agreed to it. Hello, I'm Robert Reddin from My Virtual HR, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. In this recording, I will be discussing how to go about the pay reduction process so that any resultant dismissal for not accepting the pay cut is likely to be fair. Let's talk about the pay reduction process. The era of management by diktat is long gone. Even so, some managers might be tempted to impose a pay cut unilaterally in the hope that it will be accepted by all of the workers and thereby avoiding the need to engage in meaningful consultations. Great if it works out, not great, and potentially very expensive if it does not. The safer and better way is to consult with the workforce well before the proposed pay cut is intended to take effect. The starting point is that you must have a sound business reason for wanting to reduce the pay of the workforce. It was previously thought that the financial position of the employer had to be dire before seeking to make pay cuts as an alternative to and or in addition to redundancies. However, the Employment Appeal Tribunal in Garside and Laycock against Booth in 2011 said that the employer's financial position need not be so bad that it faced closure if such measures were not implemented. Nevertheless, your reason must be substantial and business related. So, who should you consult and why? You will need to consult the workforce. How you do that will depend on how many workers are likely to be affected by the proposed pay cut. If there are 20 or more, the collective consultation obligations arise. These are contained within Section 188 of the Trade Union and Labour Relations Consolidation Act 1992. The definition of redundancy under that Act has a much wider meaning than a redundancy under the statutory provisions contained within Section 139 of the Employment Rights Act 1996. Dismissals which follow a refusal to accept new terms and conditions, including a reduction in pay, fall within this wider definition of redundancy for the purposes of collective consultation. So you have a statutory duty to consult the workforce, but how do you do that? It may mean that you have to arrange the election of representatives of the workforce with whom to hold consultation meetings if there is no recognised trade union with whom to consult. Consult with appropriate representatives of the workforce, that is, a recognised trade union, or the employee representatives who have been elected for that purpose, and also to consult with individual employees. Consultation with elected representatives or trade union representatives should begin in good time, and, depending on the numbers involved, at least 30 days for 20 to 99 employees, or 45 days for 100 or more employees, should be allowed for the consultations. The Secretary of State for the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills must also be notified using Form HR1, which can be downloaded from the BIS website. This is not optional, and failure to notify the Secretary of State is a criminal offence. What if less than 20 employees are affected by the proposal to reduce their pay? If that is the case, you should consult with individual employees and start the consultations in good time. I suggest adopting the minimum timescale applicable to collective consultations, but there is no legal requirement to notify the Secretary of State. I strongly urge you to ensure that your consultation process is fully documented to show that the workforce, through their representatives and individually, are fully aware of the business reason behind the proposal to reduce their pay, and that consultations were commenced in good time. Your records of the consultation process must also show that you have listened to and taken into account all and any objections individual employees raised. These objections may not be about the proposed reduction in pay, but could cover other working conditions or whether there should be a review at some future date. The key thing is that your records show the business reason behind the desire to cut pay, who was consulted, that consultations were commenced in good time and what consultation period was allowed, what objections were raised, how you attempted to overcome these objections, and if applicable, why it was not possible to do so. So let's assume that almost all of the workforce are persuaded to accept the cut in pay. What is the next step? To answer that question, it is easier to first deal with the employee who does not accept the reduction in pay. How should you deal with him or her? The starting point is to ensure that you have a fair reason for dismissing them. In this case, the reason will be for some other substantial reason of a kind, such as to justify the dismissal of an employee holding the position which the employee held. That brings us back to your sound business reason. The second thing you need to be able to show is that, in all the circumstances, and having regard to the equity and substantial merits of the case, it was reasonable for you to dismiss them. Relevant factors may include whether all employees, including management, face the same cuts. Let's just pause there for a moment. If you're only cutting the wages of the workers, not the bosses, it will be much more difficult to persuade an employment tribunal that the dismissal was fair. Other factors may include whether the new terms have been agreed with a recognised trade union, the extent of any consultations that took place with individual employees, including any consultations held to avoid a dismissal, whether the employer considered the views, if any, expressed by the affected employee, the undesirability of having one employee refuse to accept the pay reduction when all other employees had agreed to it. Think about what effect that will have on the morale of the workers who did accept the pay cut, and the period of notice of change that is given. Your dismissal procedure will also determine whether a dismissal is fair. But do you need to follow the ACAS Code of Practice on Disciplinary and Grievance Procedures? The important thing is that it is not the ultimate outcome of the process which determines whether the code applies. It is the initiation of the process that matters. The code applies where disciplinary proceedings are, or ought to be, invoked against an employee. Irrespective of whether the code applies, you must follow a fair procedure that includes a right of appeal. The prudent course of action is to err on the side of caution and follow the ACAS Code of Practice, even if strictly it does not apply to the particular circumstances of the case. The meeting to discuss dismissal and the subsequent appeal meeting can also be opportunities for further consultations to overcome the employee's objections. In addition to dealing with the one person who refuses to accept the cut in pay, you will need to terminate the employment of all those who have accepted the cut in their pay. The dismissals should be on notice. It may be that some employees have a longer notice period than others. Equality of treatment suggests that they all receive the longest period of notice. It is tempting to pay salary in lieu of notice to the employee who refused to accept the pay cut, but think carefully about doing that. Making them work their notice period might give them time to reconsider their position. However, you must not put them under any pressure to change their mind. All employees, including any who have refused to accept the reduction in pay, should be sent a written offer of re-employment on the new terms that is effective at the end of their notice period. I suggest sending them a new contract of employment to sign and return, which reflects the new rate of pay. They should also be informed that if the offer of re-employment is accepted, there will be no break in the continuity of their service. Do not be surprised if the person who previously refused to accept the reduction in pay is now willing to do so. If that happens, it will be largely due to the fact that you have a good business reason for making the reduction in pay. You have a fair reason for dismissing them. You can show that in all the circumstances, and having regard to the equity and substantial merits of the case, it was reasonable for you to dismiss them, and that you followed a fair dismissal procedure. These are the criteria by which an employment tribunal will judge whether the dismissal for refusing to accept a pay cut was fair. If you follow the procedure I have described, it is likely that any resultant dismissal will be fair, and a properly advised employee will know that he or she will have a difficult task to persuade an employment tribunal otherwise. I'm Robert Redding from My Virtual HR, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. Thanks for listening.